You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
You know, I don't know if this is a personality trait of mine or...
Yes, it is.
But I think I could also blame it on being a comedian.
Got it.
Because does this happen to you when you're a significant other or just someone who is trying to be serious or maybe heartfelt is saying something? You are thinking up funny things to say back, but you're smart enough not to say it?
That's a comedy thing. It's a comedian thing.
Okay.
Yeah, because I have that too.
Because my wife was telling me about a coworker of hers who married the husband of a woman who came in with pretty terminal cancer, and she helped take care of the wife for a very long time. Ended up making a connection with the husband, and like a year or two later, ended up marrying that husband.
Wow.
Right?
Okay. Yeah. This is a lifetime movie.
So
yeah.
My wife is telling me this story, and in a somewhat heartfelt way. Again, she's an oncology nurse, so she's coming at it from a very different than I am.
Yeah.
And she said, you know, so the wife passed away. It was very difficult, but she had built such a bond with the husband and the wife that she gave the husband a business card and said, if you need anything, call me. And I said, and a week later, he called and said, Mini the Puss.
And right, right.
By the way, no one's Jamaican in this story. I just thought that yeah, was yeah, a yeah. funny way. And then what I realized is, She wasn't in the giggle mode.
That wasn't the time.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, because it's a very serious story.
Imagine that, though. Imagine he said, if you need anything, call me. And the dude's just straight up like, I know what I need.
How about that punani?
Yeah. We need that boom boom, baby girl. And she was a little bit upset. But I was like, this isn't really my fault.
A lot, yeah. I mean, she knows who she married.
I know, I was like, dude, it's like, you're 20 years in at this point. But I'm seriously, I was like, I wasn't being rude. It's just the way my mind works.
Gotcha. Yeah. You know? I mean, like, look, that is subjective, whether you were being rude or not.
I think it may have ended up being rude, but I wasn't, my intent wasn't to be rude.
Gotcha.
It was just, here's what's constantly in my brain.
It's, I mean, look, it begs a whole other question about, like, you know, end up getting into a relationship with the caretaker of the person that was taking care of your wife.
Right.
It's a whole.
You can make an argument that on the list of people that are wrong, I'm not at the top. Right?
It's a trashy romance novel.
A little bit. Although you do tend to bond with the person.
That is true.
And also you have to transfer your bond after someone you love passes.
We've seen that story before, so it's not unheard of. But
right.
Okay, ma'am, you know, maybe the joke. Jokey jokes are not the time for it. That's all.
Yeah, that was my issue was that now I have to. I'm not the one who banged the guy, you know?
I'm not the worst person in this story.
No. If anything, I'm middle of the pack.
Okay, I'm with the crowd.
I'm just as shocked as all of you.
Hello, everyone.
It's the Cooligans.
Welcome to the Cooligans.
Hey, remember when we said get your fill of that?
We got a couple more of those. Well, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerrero.
We're trying to mix it up to start the show in a way that we start off with a little bit of giggles.
A little lighthearted.
A little lighthearted.
What's it called? The cold open.
Yeah. And that is quite cold.
What's it? Cheers? Remember Cheers?
I do remember the show Cheers.
I went back during COVID. I went back and watched a bunch of COVID. Yo. COVID, that's a great
like,
cold
COVID,
open.
Best time of my life.
Yo, damn.
Love it. What an era.
Yo, let's bring that. Just the home part. Just the lockdown part. What a terrible name for something so fun that no one had any problems with. It didn't affect anybody psychologically, right? Which we'll call it. Cheers. Best cold opens ever. Had nothing to do with the episode.
Okay.
Super funny. It was great. All get right. a chance. Go back and watch Cheers.
I don't know if these...
Yo, write that down. Watch Cheers.
Watch Cheers. Yeah. Super funny.
Yeah. And also COVID, right? COVID. Super funny.
Best era in American history. Yeah. We have a lot to
Them Dolphins did go back into Venice, though. That was kind of dope. That was the only positive outside of watching Cheers.
Remember when the Dolphins were hitting the pots and pans outside there?
Show some respect to my wife.
So we have a lot to go over today. As we're recording this right now, the Euros are happening. So we're going to recap some of the matches that were going on.
That's right. If you listen closely, you can hear Lukaku missing a sitter.
That's it's really a comical. Sort of, you know, it's like comedy and tragedy and stuff. Like, you know, it's all part of the story.
It's like when you as a Latino and your family show up late to a party, you're just like, God damn it. I'm doing the thing.
Why be so like on point?
It's
right?
on the nose, dude.
So Belgium is currently playing Slovakia and they are losing 1-0 as we're recording this.
But we know Slovakia is playing.
Well, Belgium just constantly underachieving. Is that so? They're keeping...
Roberto Martinez was like, and y'all try to blame me for this joint, huh?
You know who you hired,
huh?
Is Belgium the biggest waste of a golden generation we've seen? Because I think they got to be up there, bro. They had some real talent. They did nothing.
They were the best. They were the number one ranked team in the world.
That's right. And they also on paper, it is a deep squad. It is incredibly full of talent. And all they just need is a little bit of direction. Bro, just kind of do the right things.
It might be more than direction. It might be a mentality thing. Maybe, I don't know enough Belgians to say, like, yo, maybe the vibes is different in Belgium.
We need to meet more Belgians.
Right? Bro. Maybe in Belgium it's just like, hey, I'm taking part and that's good enough.
Where are the Belgians at out here in New York City?
Right, where's Lil Belgium, where's Lil Antwerp? Is that in Belgium? Can someone confirm?
It is.
So where's Lil Brussels at, bro?
So we can take a better sort of temperature of what the vibes are, because this is so let's get right into it, because the Euros, this is the fourth day or something like that. The fact that Belgium has, like, you can look at players like Jeremy Doku and you see and Kevin De Bruyne.
No, Kevin De Bruyne got to beat the allegations. He got to do well.
he has to do well, but we saw it at the World Cup as well. There's something is that when you take the Manchester City players out of Manchester City and just put them on a stacked roster of players that are from their same country, they're like, okay, hold on. I don't know how this works.
Bro, Phil Foden. Phil Foden yesterday.
Okay. I was literally about to talk about Phil Foden. You said you were going to get to it?
Yeah, we'll get to England. I mean, we start with
Belgium. Can I ask you a question?
Go for it.
Player for player, not as a team, just player for player, on paper, is England a more talented team than Manchester City? Think about it.
I mean...
Think about it. Harry Kane... Erling Haaland?
No, they're not.
Nah, Erling Haaland. I mean, Harry Kane, I think, is a better striker than Erling Haaland.
I mean, yes, he's a better striker, but it's really not that much of a difference. As far as, like, the drop-off from Harry Kane to Erling Haaland, if you had to pick one, I mean, you're probably picking...
I don't know. I mean, the back line is...
Maybe you're not picking... you're picking Erling Haaland if you were building Manchester City, but if you were building a different team, you probably wouldn't pick Erling Haaland. You would pick Kane. Is that what
you're... Let's not stick on just the striker. Yeah, but can we call that a push?
What's a push?
Push is, like, even.
Okay, sure.
You got Phil Foden on the team, Kyle Walker on the team anyway, right?
Mm-hmm.
You've got...
John Stones.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's a push, right? You got Gvardiol versus Gahey.
Gahey
was a beast. Yeah, I don't think he missed any tackles. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think he didn't miss any passes. He was a monster for being his first major tournament. Who plays left back? Trippier?
Luke Shaw. Oh, yeah.
Trippier. I keep calling him Trippier like he's French. Declan Rice. You could say that that's kind of even. Bellingham versus KDB?
I would pick KDB over Bellingham.
But you can make an argument for either.
You can make an argument, yeah.
And then Trent Alexander, I mean, yo, like, low-key, England might be...
I'm saying no. Fine if you can...
But what percentage would you say?
Because, no, but players like...
We're not talking about a massive drop-off.
Not a massive drop-off, but Kevin De Bruyne, Ruben Diaz.
Would you at least be willing to say that
Bernardo Silva...
Phil Foden is surrounded by as much talent as he is at Manchester City?
Yes, yes, I would say that.
You would say that, okay.
Yeah, yeah, the talent is there.
So then what the hell's the damn issue? It's got to be Southgate.
It has to be Southgate, yeah. Yeah.
100%.
So, yeah.
Bro, England FA, the FA needs us in the room to just assess the situation.
Well, now it's fascinating because after the game between England and Serbia, now the allegations that Gareth Southgate is just Greg Berhalter in a mask. You know what I mean? Like, it is.
Yeah, it's just a wig, actually.
It's going to be Scooby-Doo.
It's just a wig, bro. It's not even a mask.
Now, because look, a 1-0 victory, they won, right? This is the sort of the thing is that the English, and I think just a lot of people who watch the English.
They were victorious, but did they win?
Exactly. That's how it is. It's like they win, but they didn't win by enough to convince me that they could win the whole thing. And look, a lot of teams, I saw this, shout out to the guys from Bleacher Report, because I thought this was a great point about that. The England national team they don't play to strike fear in the other team. They don't basically play to say like, you need to fear our players because we're so talented. They've sort of, the philosophy is like, people try to stifle and stop the entire team. They don't walk in with that confidence like, yo, I'm Phil Foden, bro.
No, not at all.
I'm he's the best player in the Premier League.
They don't put their foot on like the neck. You know what I mean? They don't press the gas pedal, the throttle.
Exactly.
If you will.
Not like Cardi B with the foot on the neck.
Yo,
bro.
Cardi B will, yes. They got no Cardi B energy.
They need more Cardi B energy.
Yes.
we've said this since day one.
Well, I want you to play like how Cardi B responds to a complaint about her marriage.
Okay.
That's how I need you to play.
She said, well, get out of my business.
Yo.
Right now I'm not with him, but then tomorrow I might be with him.
Yo, none of your business what happens in the group chat.
Okay. All right. I married amigo.
Yeah.
We know.
I need him to be my amigo.
So that I think that's something to illustrate because they don't. Bellingham got the goal, right? And Bellingham is great, and he does
great
what he
late run into the box. Great chance for a cross from Saka, which he doesn't really do at Arsenal.
Yeah,
he more cuts in. That was great. It was deflected. Bellingham still found a way.
Exactly. But there's something to, they didn't create a ton of chances in that game. Harry Kane.
Barely touched the ball. Click on his name. How many times did he touch? If he had more than 30 touches, I'll be shocked.
Does it say it down, touches? Yeah. Where is it? Attack. Touches. 24.
24.
One, and only took one shot.
One touch in the opposition box.
Yeah. Not good enough.
You get fired if you was a porn star for only having one touch in the opposition's box.
That's, you also don't want to think of it as your opponent. They're more your collaborator.
Some of the videos, some of them be blank versus blank. Yeah, you know
what I mean? Okay. I'm just, for all the youngins out there, we're just trying to help y'all
yeah,
out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, no. At home, definitely not. I wouldn't say that's the opposition.
don't.
Right.
You're not,
if your playlist for that those moments involves the bing 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 from a boxing match, you're doing it wrong.
It's not a battle, exactly.
I know, right? Two people enter, two people leave. Okay. And if it's three, that's where you messed up.
So the this is not a it's just like not good enough. I part of me is like, oh man, Harry Kane, he signed with Bayern Munich to like get that home field advantage, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
now that the Euros
are
in Germany, he's like, oh, I'm gonna prepare myself for
right,
the moment.
You already know the vibes out here.
Yeah. But look, even in the decision in the lineup, right? Look, there were a lot of conversations about Trent Alexander-Arnold being in the midfield.
Can I give you my Trent Alexander-Arnold hot take?
Go for it.
Okay?
He can't defend. Wow, yeah, Alexis.
Damn,
bro.
No one's saying this,
this is why
bro.
You come to this show.
Come
because
on.
No one's saying. Everybody's too afraid to say what we
bro.
Say.
Bro. Where are you, Roy Keane? Say what we're really thinking.
Okay, well,
here's
really?
My hot take. So he's a right back that slides into the midfield during the match and creates an overload.
Yeah.
So now you've got a midfielder or a forward that has to make the decision on the fly which one of us is going to cover him, right?
Right.
So he's giving himself time and space, and that's when you get to see how great of a midfielder he is. And I'm not going to take that away from him. I think he is. But when you start the match as a midfielder, a player is already decided, yeah, I'm your cover. You're not the overload player. You're not the additional player. You're not like, ta-da, there's no surprise.
Right.
You're here now. So now you have to be a great midfielder, an above-average midfielder, and you're now the overload on the defense. So now you still got to be a good right back, which we're clear he's not that. He's not the best right back when you ask to just defend. You're taking away his magic sauce. You're taking away the thing that makes him special, which is surprise. You're the addition to the midfield.
Yeah.
Your ability to waltz into the midfield and make something happen. If you're Gareth Southgate, you're taking that away.
It's
like if the girl is, you know, for a bachelor party, if she was outside the cake and you'd be like, all right. Okay, well, we're watching you crawl into the cake now. You're not really going to do it.
Yeah, you're not going to shock people anymore.
If you saw the magician put the dove in the hat first, you'd be like, well.
So this is the thing. I think it's a very risky and bold move to put Trent Alexander-Arnold.
Look, how do you get Kyle Walker and him on the pitch at the same time?
You don't. That's my suggestion. Don't. You have.
So then who do you sit?
So you sit Trent Alexander-Arnold.
Oh, but he's so good at whipping in those crosses.
Yeah, or give up the defensive stability of a Kyle Walker. In this game in particular, a 1-0 game, where Serbia played, obviously pretty defensive.
You may not need Kyle Walker against Serbia for sure.
I disagree. I think if this is the type of game that they're gonna be in, or that they sort of expected, then I think sit Trent Alexander-Arnold, start Kyle Walker, and put a different midfielder. You have Cole Palmer. You have who are the other options?
Connor Gallagher.
Eberechi Eze. You have time.
Eze's not. This isn't the tournament where we're going to see him play a lot of minutes.
But look, even
I agree with you though. There's a lot of talent.
Even the fact that there were three substitutions when you have five.
Jared Bowen looked good when he came in.
Would you? I agree. I'm just saying that Southgate is to me playing a little bit conservative at certain times, and then.
Not even a little bit.
Okay. Conservative at certain times.
He's wearing a red hat. That's how conservative he's playing.
Okay. Make the king great again. Anyway. Yeah, yeah. But it's more than anything, it's they are playing a little bit conservative. But Trent Alexander-Arnold as a midfielder, that's not his expertise. Let's not be crazy. It's like, it's not that he's bad.
Right.
But that's not you want players in their best positions in a tournament like this, and no one is going to tell me that Trent Alexander-Arnold is best at midfield.
Can I explain what it's like?
What is it like?
It's like if we were putting together a pickup game,
mm-hmm.
and you've worked really hard at being a good footballer, you walk in, everyone's like, hey, this comedian who also plays soccer, who's really good at soccer, now put you in TST. No disrespect. But you saw how everyone was like, yo, that guy's a comedian at least, though, right?
We know.
You know? You're really good, right? You've gotten yourself to be really good. But if someone threw you into a professional game, you'd be like, but if someone's like, yo, he's a comedian, we need someone last minute, he's gonna help us out. People are like, yo, you're really doing pretty good out there. But that's him stepping into the midfield.
I mean, I
defend yourself, damn it. I'm trying to joke here.
I'm just saying, look, I'm not saying that Trent Alexander-Arnold looks like a comedian out there.
Yeah,
you know
what I mean? But no. It's a difference of saying like, you're this who can also do that.
Yeah.
If you're just asking to do that,
it is a look. It's just what pieces are we sort of building this team identity that we want?
You know when a musician has like bits in between, people are like, oh man, you should be a comedian,
right?
And then they get up to do stand up, and you're like, oh,
okay, yeah.
See how it's not so easy? That's him stepping into the midfield.
Okay, and I think there is a degree of that. I don't think it's that harsh, but I think the risks that Trent Alexander-Arnold takes are and we see the success of it when he is playing right back. I think those are better. Like mm-hmm. You'll see better outcomes of his ability and his style of play when he is a right back, simply in the positions that he's in the positions that the passes that he chooses to make. He's not necessarily seen as a connector all the time for Liverpool, as far as like where he's almost better than midfielders in those over the top passes or sending players through with through balls and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And I just think he does a little bit. He took more shots in this game. It's just a different style. Like I think you'd rather
him start at right back.
I would.
So who do you put in his
place?
Because
I think it makes it would make England a better offensive team.
Okay, but then who do you put in his place?
I'm fine with
guys, not to interrupt you. Romelu Lukaku just scored a goal for Belgium.
wait,
we have to make sure.
He wasn't offside.
He was not offside. You know.
VAR. We have to make sure that the semi-automated lines are down.
Did they even register him as a player?
Okay, we got to make sure.
If he oh can my find God, a there's way. A VAR check, guys. There's a VAR
Let's
check.
Go! Always, bro.
This poor guy, man.
Lukaku is cursed.
I'm fine with Conor Gallagher. I think he's much better defensively, but he offers you something going forward. Where I think Declan Rice was. Bellingham was trying so hard to get forward that I think it was causing some issues for Declan Rice, where it felt maybe he felt like he needed to shuttle the ball forward a bit more.
Yeah.
Which is where I really would have expected Phil Foden to come in a bit more central and kind of take over. And again, we didn't see that. I think he kind of hid a little bit in this match. Maybe it was – I'm not going to simply say it was him. Maybe it was
the direction.
Oh, my God,
the ref is going to the monitor. I'm sorry.
Oh, my God.
The ref is going to the monitor right now.
This poor bastard. For those of you listening, you already know how this ends, but we don't.
It's remarkable.
I think for Phil Foden, I think maybe it was the direction from Southgate. Maybe – because it seemed like Harry Kane was also not doing what he normally does, right? He wasn't kind of involving himself in the midfield. He was kind of trying to stay up a little bit for it, coming in a little deeper when the moment called for it, but he wasn't as active in doing that as we'd seen him do in the past. So maybe it was the direction from Southgate. But there was so much missing for the way Phil Foden, for the potential that Phil Foden has, for how great he could be, for how great we've seen him be. We didn't get to see that moment in this first game, and maybe a lot of us are nitpicking this first match a little too much.
Oh, my God, they waved the goal off her head.
Oh, the poor bastard. Oh,
poor Romelu, bro. Should have never left Everton, bro.
Free my guy, Romelu. You were,
go back. Put on, wear the toffee shirt, bro. Go back home, bro.
Come to MLS, bro. We clap when you lose, dog. You're going to be just fine. San Diego FC going to be lit.
You and Chuki? Let's go.
With Sergio? Ramos? And KDB?
Let's go.
You might be the only team that could beat Miami.
Okay. Even I think Kevin Durant might join this team.
he's only in the playoffs. Which we'll call it. For me, I think, maybe we are nitpicking, but we've seen how great Phil Foden has looked this season and that major step up he took. Bro, I didn't see it in the first game. Serbia should be the one where you're walloping them.
Let's be for real.
And I know they're tough defensively, but
let's be for real. How many you see a game like this, and it's just like they can only score one goal. You see the roster, you see the players.
How many shots did Pickford even face?
I don't
because I think their XG was less than one.
His face, the 0.04.
0.04. That's XG on target. So that's the XG after the ball has been kicked.
Right.
Crazy.
I love that.
Look at this. Diving save, zero. Saves inside the box, zero.
Punches.
Acted as a sweeper, zero. Punches.
What is it? Friday night fights?
He threw three of them. No, that's three throws. Seven recoveries. I mean, 48 touches. That's not a lot from a goalkeeper. I watched this and I was like, man, these are the – and look, you're already top of the group. You got your 3 points. All you need is really 1 point from the next two, and odds are you're good. I just like, bro, this is the ones where you should be like shining.
Exactly.
I see no shining, bro.
So there were some issues before this game because fans have been trying in Germany to have some fun.
Banter
between each other. But the English,
which is better than the last Euros where it was straight violence.
And there was did you see? There was some violence between the English and the Serbians. It was a big brawl, chairs being thrown.
Yeah.
So we need less of that. And we need more.
Did you see that the German police asked the English to smoke weed?
They asked them to smoke weed?
Yeah. When was the last time a cop was like, yo, you need to chill? Have a hit, dog. Take a hit of this joint
right
here.
He's like, bro, I'm going to plant this on you. No, I got nobody.
Hey, I'm going to turn my back. You smoke that joint.
Okay.
Maybe let me hit it.
I got some of the good stuff from the evidence locker. Bro, just take it.
OG cushion cooking.
The cushion cooking is fire,
bro. Fire, dog. You haven't had the cushion smoking? Oh my God, dog.
Okay, the OG Purple Lugan.
Yo,
it's been crazy,
bro. It's straight gas of Lugan, bro.
Oh, bro, we gotta rebrand that one because Germany is not great with that.
That's a good point. That's a good point. We gotta
change the name of that one. But
yeah, that's the police were like, yo, English. Maybe there'll be less violence if y'all was just happy and chill.
They need more weed, bro. Come on, Rishi Sunak. Get that weed, dog. Up.
I know you couldn't afford Sky TV, you poor child. But can you afford to make weed just a little legal?
Legalize it. All right. Legalize it.
Bro, hey, here comes Sean DePaul.
Anyway, okay. But there was some violence. We saw that. That was pretty crazy. But there have been some really, really fun moments as well.
I don't know. If you're Italian, you're going to think this moment is pure violence as well.
Italy and Albania face Italy won.
Which is like Mexico versus USA. There's a lot of overlaps. A lot of the Albanians go into Italy to get jobs and to work there. And
sometimes
the Italians aren't as hospitable. And there's some tension back and forth. But for the most part, these are two cultures that really understand each other.
Exactly. So you love to see them having fun with it. But this was great. These were Albanian fans that were holding spaghetti.
Uh-oh. Look at that. Italians are begging. Don't do it. We know what you want to do. Don't do it. Please don't do it.
They snap the spaghetti in front of the Italian fan and throw the spaghetti in the air. A lot of fun. This was dope. I love that they were having fun with it.
The dude up front was a big dude like me. You know that did hurt a little bit. He was like, don't throw it. At least cook it. You know.
I mean, because this has been a trend I've seen on I think TikTok or something. Mm-hmm. People snapping the spaghetti. I guess too because it doesn't fit in the pot, so they snap it. But what? I mean, for a layman, I'm not saying that this is good.
Are you a pasta breaker?
I usually don't eat spaghetti. I don't like very. It's like a messier sort of meal. I'm a big gnocchi guy. I'm a big fan of that. I'm a big fan of...
Did you say gnocchi? You like gnocchi?
Gnocchi, love gnocchi. And bow tie pasta. I like small pastas.
Here's another hot take. Gnocchi isn't a pasta.
I know.
It's a dumpling.
It's like potato.
It's a dumpling.
It's lovely.
Yeah, it's not bad, but it's not a pasta.
It's packaged like the rest of the pastas.
They sell like a pasta because like it's Italian food. But
okay, so the Italians are trying to trick us.
Yeah. Well, I mean, name something else. Yeah, you should not break pasta. You just put it, and then...
You shouldn't break spaghetti.
You shouldn't break spaghetti. Well, I mean, if you're out there trying to break break elbow noodles, you're going to spend a lot of time, you're going to hurt your thumbs. No, you just put it in the pot, and then it sort of falls into it.
Okay.
As it warms, it sort of falls into the water.
Yes, that's right. That is right. Okay.
I don't know what people are so scared of.
And then I love how the... this is France against... who are they playing?
Austria. This is Austria.
And the
Austria, my dark horse for this competition, by the way.
The Austrian fans breaking baguettes in front of...
which you're allowed to do, by the way.
In front of the French fans. Devastating. This is not as much as taboo.
Actually, the funny thing is, it's worse to cut it with a knife. You're not supposed to cut a baguette with a knife unless you're making a sandwich out of it.
Interesting. Why?
You're supposed to rip it. You're supposed to tear it. So that's actually okay.
Okay. So this was...
part that's offensive is look at how soft this baguette is. It's a bad baguette. You see that? A baguette should not bend like that.
Oh.
It should shatter. The outside should be glassier.
Okay. All right. Yeah. We're learning quite a bit from...
I got you.
This is supposed to be Bantz, but nah, bro.
Also, if you go to Paris or France, you got to ask for a baguette traditionnelle. That's the one that the rules, it's guideline. There's guidelines to how what ingredients you're allowed to use and how much of it. If you just say baguette, that's like, yo, there's no rules. We can do whatever we want with baguette. You got to say a baguette traditionnelle, and they got to go for it. Oh,
wow. Yeah.
I'm putting you on,
this,
bro.
This is.
I can't have you eating no bouquet ass baguette.
Yeah, you learn this in French school, bro. Yeah. You learn the baguette ways.
Yo, nobody eat no bum baguettes around me, you feel me? Only the best. Baguette traditionnelle.
You love to see it. You love to see this. And just less of chairs being thrown.
More banter. Look, no one here was bleeding. And I think that's a positive sign for videos over here.
If there's blood in your baguette, you're doing it wrong, bro.
Yeah, check on the baker, is what I would say. Go back to the bakery, ask how they're doing.
Is this how you be a supporter? Yeah. I don't know if I'm doing this right.
Yo, did you also put sweat and tears in here? Is that how much you love this game?
The only other match I kind of wanted to go.
Spain? You don't want to talk about Spain absolutely bodying Croatia? Nobody was talking about Spain before this competition.
I don't know. Croatia only shows up for the World Cup. Yeah. World Cup, they ball out. Yeah. And the Euros, they're like, oh, nah, bro, I don't know.
Let somebody else have it.
If I'm not playing against Colombia, I don't know what to do. I don't know what happened. I think we're in a place where it's like even watching Luka Modric, who's obviously a legend. Always will be. My man is on the decline.
Very much.
Ballon d'Or winner. And yes, my man is a legend, but this roster in itself feels a little bit
washed.
Wash is there.
We're in a transition older, period, little right? Older. Transition away from their golden era to, you know, who's taking over. Yeah. You know?
They didn't, who else played in this game?
Even Perisic is up there in age.
Yeah.
Mateo Kovacic started in the midfield.
Kovacic is there.
It's just, yeah, it's just a little.
Gvardiol is probably their best talent right now.
It's just a little sad. That's all. So I don't really have much to say about it outside of like, I would have probably always favored Spain in this game, but yeah. I did not think Croatia, who tend to be a very good defensive team for years and years, I didn't think they were going to lose 3-0. But you know, Spain looked great. They played with
and the story
a ton
is
of confidence.
Just how good Lamine Yamal is.
Yeah, yeah, he got his the youngest player to ever record an assist at the Euros, and he looked great. I mean, he got the assist, but he was threatening the entire game. He was
and
spectacular.
I like how more direct Nico Williams looked good.
Mm-hmm.
It's fire.
Germany, Scotland. That was another big, another big talk. The opening game of the Euros, and this was a Florian Wirtz get to the first goal at these Euros.
Germany scored so many goals; they scored one for Scotland. Like, bro, we feel bad.
Very
though.
Kind. But yeah, this was more. I would say this. Germany were good. But this is more of a concern to me about why were Scotland so bad. I mean, I understand it's kind of a shock that they even made it to the Euros.
I mean, no, they finished top of the group.
But they did. That's what I'm saying. But that was the shock.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But also, like, I think, like, 8 of their 11 starters, preferred starters, are injured or coming back from injury.
Yeah.
They've had a rough one. But, dude, if you're what's his name? Stephen Clark? Scott Clark? What's my guy's name? Stephen Clark, the manager?
Steve Clark. Yeah, Steve Clark.
Mm-hmm. If you're – bro, you got to make some – you got to figure something out.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to go back to bunker ball or something. Yo, bring that Brexit back. That Brexit ball back. Because I can understand you not being able to beat them like 3-1 or, you know, 60% of possession. I get all that. But, yo, you can't be beat 5-1, bro.
Nah, bro.
That's a bad look.
And the Scottish fans, when they arrive, like, they bring the vibes, yo, right? Like, the Scottish.
There's no people I want to, there's no group, the nation of fans that I want to party with more than Scotland.
Yeah, yeah. So, look, they traveled all that way, and then.
I think it was something like 20,000.
Yeah,
Scott's
I mean, look, the red card was a big deal, right? Because
sure.
that challenge.
How many goals were scored before that?
2.
Okay.
I mean, the 1 because the penalty, right? They scored the penalty. Oh, 2. Yeah, 2. So 2 beforehand. And then
3 because of the third one winning because of the
red card.
Because of the red card.
But the challenge was. Was ridiculous.
God awful.
But it was like they already gave up 2 goals. You could see the panic. He's like, no, I just gotta let me just clear this and
let me two foot this guy.
And Gundogan. And the challenge just both feet off the ground,
studs right in his ankle. It's ridiculous.
It was just such a and it was one of those things where you generally if he's like kind of making a genuine attempt on the ball,
he did get ball before that, but it was such an egregious tackle.
Yeah, yeah,
that's like, got to be a red card
because it would normally be you don't want the double jeopardy, right? Mm-hmm. They've been changing the rule like if you give him the penalty, then you don't give him the red, you just give him a yellow. But this one was just such a violent challenge that the ref had no real choice.
This could have very easily broken someone's leg.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. And look, that was obviously the big difference in the game. But, yeah, this was a – it just – Scotland cannot have such a poor showing. Like, no. That was even before the penalty. They just looked absolutely lost.
I'll also just say that the sport of football, especially when it comes to something like a European competition, is just so much better, more fun to be a part of and watch and be involved in when the Scottish team is there.
Okay.
It's just the fans are better. The banter's great. It's just a dope time. I don't want to see them go out on a whimper, man.
The Scotland's missing a couple players that could probably make a difference, right? Especially in MLS.
Yeah, no, a good portion of it. They got Lewis Morgan in there.
That wasn't their Johnny plan. Russell's not there. I mean, that would have been.
Lewis Morgan wasn't part of their plan.
No, but also Ryan Gold from Vancouver.
That's right.
Also could make something. So it would be nice to have a little bit more MLS representation, but you know how the hate. They
don't want to see a shine.
They don't want to see the players playing America shine. So, the other Ukraine getting. I didn't think Romania was going to be that good. They looked great today.
At one point, Romania had like 16 or no, I think it was 18% possession. In like the first like 20 minutes.
Also, we can confirm full time for Belgium Slovakia. Yeah. Belgium Slovakia won 1-0 over Belgium.
Belgium's not gonna make it out of this group.
It's remarkable.
I mean, we also said that about Argentina after they lost 5-0, 6-0, 6-1 to Saudi Arabia.
They didn't lose 6-1. They lost 2-1 or 3-1.
Was it 2-1? Who knows?
I forget. 6-1 to Argentina. That
I forget.
Be...
that was 2-1. It was 2-1. Saudi Arabia.
It was 2-1. Oh my god, that was
Messi
a drubbing.
Messi losing a game 6-1.
Wasn't that US versus Colombia? But yeah, I mean, we thought everything's over for these guys, and they went on to win. So maybe not everything's over, but Belgium, number 3 versus number 48.
This is like crazy that the fact that they can't, like, this is they're the number 3 team in the world, and we again, you see the roster, and there's just no excuse.
They had as a team, they had 1.91 xG.
Right.
Which means they should have scored 2 goals based on the chances they had. Can you tell me how many misses Lukaku had?
Lukaku had...
Took 3 shots on target, so that's 3 misses.
Yeah. Yeah.
3 big chances missed.
Yeah, bro.
All right in front of goal. It's tough.
What are you going to do, bro? I don't know what to do.
And I'm not a Lukaku hater.
Not I got your damn jersey, yeah. Rom.
But when there's a picture of you holding the weapon at the scene of the crime, there's only so much I can do, dude.
We can't defend this forever.
It was Lukaku with the lampshade in the library.
That's it. Stop reading books. Go back to training, Lukaku.
Damn,
that's
dog.
The problem,
bro. You make it too easy to play Clue.
A couple days of Euros, and we got a lot more.
I mean, real quick before we get out of here, Christian Eriksen died, came back to life, and then scored a goal at the Euros.
Over a year ago, this man died, and he came back and scored. How can a dead guy score at the Euros when you can't, Lukaku?
Lukaku's like, bro, how do I fake my own death so I can do this? So I can get the storyline that Christian Eriksen
Damn,
has.
Man, I need that positive press that comes from dying.
Bro. Wild. Yeah. And it's just obviously Christian Eriksen scoring the goal, a great goal as well.
Great.
Just a great build up that led to the goal. But the, it's just such a remarkable story. It would have been, I think, a little bit better if Denmark would have won the game. I think the other cool thing is watching your co-worker, Peter Schmeichel, he's on the Fox Sports coverage.
I have noticed.
And before that game, they did a side-by-side of Kasper Schmeichel, like, you know, warming up before the game, and they have his dad talking about him, again, trying to give objective analysis about this Danish team.
He has to try much harder to call his mother. You know, like, no, that's not the type of analysis.
Like, can we talk about his goalkeeper? He's like, oh yeah, the best. Should win the goalkeeper award every year.
Yeah.
My son. But it's great to see. A great story from the Danish. Okay, we got a couple more things to cover. Some MLS stuff.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So we're talking MLS right now. I mean, I think the biggest thing you guys wanted to mention was Inter Miami down to 9 men and still beating, I forget now who they beat. Who was it? Philadelphia.
At home.
Susanna pulled up a crazy stat. The last two seasons prior, Philadelphia lost one match at home. Right. This season, they've lost five. They've just lost this match with two more men on the pitch than Miami.
Bro, Miami had just two more players than a TST team.
Yes.
Okay? And they managed to win against a full side of Philadelphia Union.
And that's
players.
Going the whole pitch.
The whole pitch. A big ass pitch.
Yo. It's kind of crazy.
It was wild. And if you, who is it? Leo, another Leo. Yeah. Leo Alfonso, who is a second round draft pick. By Inter Miami.
Just as you all had it drawn up and written out.
He scores the late winner in stoppage time to defeat the Philadelphia Union. Yeah,
and it was just like an old school. The left back got the ball, turned the player that was kind of defending him in his own half, shoots the ball down the sideline. Leo Alfonso gets on the end of it. Full on sprint counterattack, old school. Yo,
You saw Benjamin Kremaski like running. It was easily like, yo, lay this off for the tap, for the open goal. Tapping. But Kremaski was so tired from defending that he couldn't keep up with Leo Alfonso. So he's just going, he's like, all right, well, my teammates can't make it. Yo, Leo, I got fresh legs.
Yeah. Yo, show him why you should have been first round, my dude. I can't do all this running.
And he's just running, and he blows by Glesnes. And then left footed goes around the keeper. Who also Andre Blake is still, he just had, I think, surgery on his knee or something like that. So he's waiting to come back. But that was so egregious. And we have a lot of love for especially Jim Curtin, a lot of Philly fans. But this is one of the most embarrassing losses, I think, not definitely this season, but like. In a long time, in just Major League Soccer sort of history.
This is a wake-up call loss.
Without a doubt. This is a, Kai Wagner after the game mentioned his comments are basically saying, like, that this should be a sign for the higher-ups to invest in this team. We need players with pace. And he was, like, mass specific. You know, it's always a strange thing of, like, we need players that are faster and we need this and this and this. And it's like, all right, what about your teammates that you currently have? Yeah, saying like, yo, Bedoya, yo, he's trash.
Yo, he dumb old. He dumb old.
I'm like, yo, Kai, like, chill. You got to work with these guys.
Bro, he found a cassette at the bottom of his backpack. I can't. You know what I mean? You can't be having this.
who still has a Walkman, bro?
Yo, players are walking by. He's like, we got to get this dude off the pitch, bro.
Okay.
That guy's barely MLS Next Pro.
So just very, very wild, the blatant criticism, but it's
they need to give Kevin Sullivan more minutes. That's gonna be my.
I know, right? Just get the
if he's good enough for City, get him out there.
the Inter Miami, the red cards, Douglas Ruiz, who got a red, I think, in Champions Cup or whatever, he got sent off in the game against, I believe, Monterrey. He gets two yellows, then Aviles, which is like. He kicks the ball back into play so as to prevent the throw-in, and he's already on a yellow. Like, this is Inter Miami. The fact that they won this game is remarkable.
It's ridiculous.
But the fact that they know when no Luis Suarez, no Messi, and obviously players injured, and the roster has all this crazy turnover. So they need second round draft picks.
Yes.
To make good decisions.
If you're Philly and that's what's coming to your to your stadium, you got to be like, I think we could win this.
So that's kind of even I'm an NYCFC fan. As soon as they got the second red, I'm like, all right, now NYCFC supporter shield, maybe, right? If Inter Miami loses this game, I'm like delusional.
Of course
in
you
thinking
are.
That.
Because here comes a second round draft pick to break all of our hearts.
And it wasn't even just the it was Yannick Bright, who's I think another draft pick, I don't know what round, but it was draft pick to draft pick.
Crazy.
And Alfonso sees Kremaski, crawling to try to get to the box.
Messi's at home texting David Beckham like, yo, who are these guys? I didn't even know they were on the team. David Beckham's like, yo, me neither.
I don't know how they got. I thought they were storming the pitch to try to get a picture with you.
I think we took fans out from the stands and said, yo, you already wearing a kit. Get in here.
My man, and Alfonso, after he scored, he did the celebration like, yo, look at the back of the look at the name on the back of the jersey. Yeah. When it was a little bit like, oh, yeah, who is this guy?
Yeah. Actually, could you show us the back of your jersey?
I do it again. I just need to see it again. I'm wasn't exactly
the
sure.
The announcer's like, thank you so much for turning around.
He's doing the like, yo, look at the name on the back of the jersey. And you know what his number is?
69.
A couple 69s in the league. His number 73.
Bro,
you got scored on by a 73.
That's academy number, right?
That's an academy number, bro. No. I would be surprised if he didn't have triple digits.
Remember
on his
when Club America brought someone in and their number was like 187? I was like, that's crazy. You can't be getting scored on by 187.
You know where they are on the depth chart. That's not good.
Every other number was taken.
Bro, so ridiculous. I cannot believe this was one of the wildest results I have ever seen. And it just like you said, a wake up call, and the frustration was crazy. It was just unbelievable. I don't think I've ever seen anything like this.
The Philadelphia fans must be furious.
They were booing
to see that at home.
They were booing them after the game, and we've been to Subaru Park several times. Mm-hmm. It is, and I think this is like a low key kind of thing. The Union game day experience, the crowds are wild. It is not.
It's a fortress.
It is. Last year it was.
Yeah.
But this is the fans are loud. It's something that the state, like when you're watching on TV, it doesn't exactly capture the sort of aggressiveness of the Philly
ferociousness.
Yeah, yeah.
Veracity. Yeah.
Good try with ferociousness.
Ferociousness.
No.
Yeah, that's the word you were sort of combining.
It wasn't.
Because
it starts with a V.
V, veracity.
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 Maybe you're 100% right. And I was just merging.
No, veracity means truth. Like the truth to something. I don't think that's the word you were looking for.
No,
but
it wasn't.
It's used in that tone.
Whatever. you guys know what I meant. It's just like how it feels like it's going to overwhelm you when you're there.
Yes, yes, yes. And so, they usually don't direct that energy towards their own players.
No, not at all.
And they were doing very a lot of that. So, I couldn't believe it. This was why, especially, props to Julian Gressel getting his first goal this season. For Inter Miami, a great goal as well. So you love to see that. But I don't know where we go from here. I saw, on MLS wrap-up, they were asking the question about, like, is Jim Curtin on the hot seat because of this? And they all vehemently said no. And
Not yet. A season of this. He's not going to get the Peter Vermees leash.
No. It's not. But he's the closest to the Peter Vermees leash.
Yeah, maybe. But he's not going to get. I feel like Philadelphia doesn't want to wait that long.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, look, they sold Julian Carranza, right? That he was at the game kind of waving goodbye at fans and stuff like that. And it's a cause for concern because this roster, while they in the last like 2-3 years they've done good business and they're selling players and making money, they haven't had that like sort of I don't know if they necessarily need a big splash of a player, but it feels like this is the time to take a bigger risk and bring in a big player. I mean, the last big name player I think that they went for with maybe Marco Fabian?
No.
Is that the biggest name?
No, because I feel like Ale Bedoya, when he came in, maybe is the biggest name. Because think about it. Remember El Senior was like on the bench, would come in and do some magic, but he was a little bit older by that point. Marco Fabian was towards the end of his career, although I hear he's still playing indoor.
I did see that too. Yeah, yeah. He's on that show, Love.
Did you watch it?
I haven't watched it. Did you watch it?
I watched the whole thing.
Oh, I got to watch it.
You got to see it.
I got to watch.
When they take away the power of them, of their
fame,
their fame
and like their career and their
accomplishments. They don't know what to do.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like cutting the whiskers off a cat. They don't know what to do, dude.
I got to watch it.
Ryan Babel's my favorite. Ryan Babel. So I'm not revealing anything. At some point, they have to reveal to the girls that they're footballers.
Right.
There's something we haven't been telling you. Mm-hmm. If you don't know the show, it's a bunch. It was Jamie O'Hara, Marco Fabian, Ryan Babel, and two players you've never heard of. go into a house in L.A. or like a penthouse in L.A. with a bunch of girls, and they're not allowed to say they're famous footballers. They all pretend to have jobs. So whatchamacallit? So the gentleman holding the ball, that's Lloyd, something Lloyd, right? And then the net guy to his right, between him and Ryan Babel, is Fosse, who's a goalkeeper. The real fame he has, he's like a goalkeeper in like the third division in Spain. The real fame he has is that his dad owns Pachuca and a bunch of other famous teams, so he's got a lot of money.
Gotcha.
And Lloyd, the gentleman up front, he's just like the hot, young, dumb one. You know, let's just say that him and Cole Palmer went to the same schools. But obviously, Jamie O'Hara on the left, and then you got Marco Fabian. But in order to reveal, everyone will be like, hey, there's something I haven't told you. I'm a famous footballer, and so is, or they'll say soccer player, because the show's based in L.A., and so is all the other guys. And the girls would be shocked. Here's how Ryan Babel did it. He took the girl up to the patio, mm-hmm. the penthouse, like the big like rooftop, and just showed his highlights on the wall, like projected his highlights on the wall, like World Cup, and just stood there and was like, see what I'm saying? His storyline is that he's supposed to be a construction worker.
Yeah.
But this is how little this man knows about the real world. He started calling himself a real estate construction worker.
Okay. Which
I can't even begin to make sense of it. It just doesn't make sense. Real estate construction
he's
worker.
He's like, you know, Property Brothers? I'm like the one that does stuff with his hands.
I'm the Property Brother. But here's what he said. He couldn't just be a construction worker. Like, Jamie O'Hara is a online ad sales guy.
Okay.
Like, there's no way you can make that bigger than what it already is.
Right.
Ryan Babel went with, I built the Burj Khalifa.
No way.
And then he was telling girls, he's like, yeah, man, I was hanging out of windows and stuff. Why would you be building the building if it has windows in it already? It's like the last thing that gets put in. It's absolute bananas. And this is, by the way, I'm not complaining about the show. It is quite genius.
Right, right.
It is great. That's and like, guess what? The voiceover guy is our friend Jared Fried.
Get out of
here. Yeah, he's the voiceover throughout the whole thing.
That's amazing. Dude, that Babel thing, this is like, hey, you heard of the Statue of Liberty?
Yeah.
I delivered it. I delivered it on Uber Eats.
Bro, I dragged it over the Atlantic, my damn self.
You know, delivered it on DoorDash. Yeah. You know what I mean? Just no mean to brag.
Real estate construction worker. And I'm like, that's not something lost in translation. He's just trying to find, how can I jazz this up a little bit? I don't want these people to think I'm poor.
I love it. Oh my God! All right. Well, I got a reminder. It's on Peacock.
It's streaming. I gotta check it out.
So thank you for that little. Alexis should do more recaps for reality shows.
Bro, I'll start watching more of them. This was my first reality show in like 20 years.
All right, we're gonna do some more. Obviously, coverage of the Euros and Copa America, which is starting real soon. So be on the lookout for that. Subscribe here. Stay locked in with the Cooligans. So follow at Soccer Cooligans wherever you get the show, podcast, YouTube. Hit the subscribe on the YouTube channel. Just a couple. I'll do this on the next one. Just at the beginning because I forgot I got lost in your terminal counter lady that whose husband who left her for whatever. Anyway,
Mini Puss. It's just a great. Just a great phone call to make.
Okay, I just a white guy speaking patois. No. Love it. So another reminder: we will be joining Yahoo Sports on July 1st, and a lot of people were asking questions about the whole move. And just a quick thing: nothing's really going to change. The same. Same podcast. The podcast feed will be moved over, but it'll happen automatically.
So you won't notice anything. You don't have to go anywhere different to find us. Exactly. But if you do happen to go to Yahoo Sports, you'll see us.
Exactly. So, and the YouTube channel will be the same. We'll go into more detail as we get closer to that date. But it won't be that much.
There might be some changes, though. Like, Christian, I might switch seats, right? Like, maybe you'll sit on the left, I'll go on the right.
Maybe
I'll get a BBL. Like, there's a lot of...
Yeah, exactly. Maybe I'll get a BBL and sit on Alexis.
Maybe Christian will do my BBL, bro. He's Dominican, right?
Anything can happen.
Anything can happen.
So... So thank you again. So make sure you follow at Soccer Cooligans on all socials. And you can follow us individually at Chris Polanco, at Not Alexis as well. And we'll see you on Thursday. Copa America starts on Thursday, if I'm not mistaken. We'll be talking before those matches, so we'll do a little bit of a preview to that.
So tune in to see how wrong we are.
Exactly, which is why mainly people try to check out the show.
The Europeans do.
All right, we appreciate y'all. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you on Thursday, everybody. Have a good rest of your Euros and Copa America. Cheers.
Love you guys.
Now's the time to start your next adventure behind the wheel of an exciting new Toyota hybrid. With the largest lineup of hybrid, plug-in hybrid, and electrified vehicles to choose from, Toyota has the one for you. Every new Toyota hybrid comes with Toyota Care 2-year complimentary scheduled maintenance, an exclusive hybrid battery warranty, and Toyota's legendary quality and reliability. Visit your local Toyota dealer today. Toyota, let's go places. See your local Toyota dealer for hybrid battery warranty details.